Welcome to the Dildorf, Storky Discourse on Sex, Dating, and Masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex journalist, a sex blogger, and I like to dress like it's Valentine's Day every day and fuck like it's Valentine's Day every day. Who are you, friend?
I'm Billy. I'm a sex educator and queer porn maker, and working retail ruined the holidays for me, but working sex toy retail ruined Valentine's Day for me.
Yeah, maybe we should talk about that for a second. I feel like people outside of this world don't necessarily know what a circus it is to work on a sex shop on Valentine's Day. Like,
to work my in sexuality.
It's true, yes. So now my inbox is just perpetually full of absolutely wild stuff in February. Mm-hmm. But the one time that I was working sex toy retail over Valentine's Day, my main memory is it was just like a lot of very drunk couples coming in wanting something but not knowing what they wanted. Just like, I don't know, something fun that we can use together. And it's like, you should have come in like three drinks ago when you might have had enough articulation skills to like tell me what you actually want. But okay.
I mean, yes, and because, like, yeah, you get a bunch of those, especially, like, right on Valentine's, when, you know, the days when people are having their Valentine's date, whether that's Valentine's Day, the weekend before, et cetera. Mm-hmm. You also get the people getting their Valentine's gifts, like, in advance, and they're generally sober and still have no fucking idea what they want. And, like, I think it's... all comes down to the same reason that you're flooded with emails from people you never hear from the rest of the year is because, like, this is the one time of year where people are like, ah, I think about the sex things and I think about the romance things. Like, it is part of the script to be thinking and talking about the sex you're having and the relationships you're having. And, like, generally, that is not part of the script. Like, it's something, yeah. I mean... relationship certainly, but you know what I'm getting at.
Yeah, not to think so explicitly and talk so explicitly about it, certainly.
Right.
So I put out a call for Valentine's Day related questions, and I really thought it was going to be like more logistics questions and like gift advice questions. And the vast majority of them this year were more like philosophical and conceptual. Like, what does it all mean?
They listen to
what
our
is
show.
The point of it? Yeah. And so I guess I want to start this discussion by asking, like, what is Valentine's Day to you? Like, what does it mean to you? How do you usually celebrate it? Does it matter to you?
I celebrate not working sex toy retail on Valentine's Day. It really is, like, I never super cared about it before. There was a version of childhood me that, like, quite liked giving out little, like, Batman Valentines or whatever. But, like... I'm not a particularly romantic person, at least not that flavor of romance. So, like, it has just never really appealed to me. And then it was really annoying for a couple of years in a row. So, like, if the person I'm with is super excited about Valentine's Day, cool, great. Yeah, no, I will get excited with you. And this is, I am a yes willing. I am not a yes into for Valentine's Day.
It's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I come at this from a different perspective. I like Valentine's Day, but mostly just because, like, I like love and I like affection and I like celebrating those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, even when I was single, you know, there's definitely times when I've been single and had a hard Valentine's Day where it does make you think about the fact that you're single and how sad you might be about that.
Mm-hmm.
But even when I was single, I've mostly found ways to celebrate it and to view it as sort of just like a general celebration of love. And for me, that's a positive thing. But I think that a large part of why it feels positive for me is that I am doing a lot of that throughout the year as well. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that a lot of the pitfalls people run into are when they're trying to cram all of their romantic expression, or like a huge amount of it anyway, into this one day. Mm-hmm. And so that can feel awkward, or it can feel like too much pressure. And it's like, if you just spread it out, if you just like a little more romantically and sexually expressive than you're used to being throughout the rest of the year, like, it actually does shift things pretty massively.
Yeah. So an interesting thing I was thinking about while you were talking about this, and it might be kind of a tangent, but like, you talk about, like, you really enjoy love and romance and all of those things. You also have talked about enjoying, like, the lovecore aesthetic and hearts and pink and red and, like, the Valentine's aesthetic, essentially, the flavor of romance that we generally associate with Valentine's Day. And, like, you also talked about how there are some that have been hard, and I have certainly struggled with loneliness and certainly struggled with, like, particularly romantic loneliness, like, more than I generally talk about because I'm in a little avoidant beeb. But hey, little avoidant beebs are generally struggling with loneliness. It's like comes with part of it, you know? But it's rarely been focused around Valentine's. Like, I've rarely felt a spike of it around Valentine's Day. And I think for me, it's because, like, those particular, like, manifestations of love and romance also don't particularly, resonate for me. So I think even for me, like, if someone I was with was really excited about Valentine's Day, I would probably find some weird me way to celebrate romance in our relationship.
Yeah, I do think that the lovecore aesthetic is a pretty significant component of my enjoyment, which is silly.
It's not silly. Like, I don't mean to sound shady. I'm a jaded, grumpy old man, like, who shopped at a Hot Topic growing up. Like, it's just, it's not the aesthetic that was made for me. You know what I mean? Like, but it, I'm not trying to be like, oh, this, like, twee trivial way of being romantic. Like, no, it's fucking cute. Like,
yeah, when I say silly, like, I don't really mean that in, like, a self-judgmental way. It's more just, like, it seems to be, on the surface, a fairly frivolous thing. And the truth is, like, for me, I wear a lot of hearts. I own a lot of, like, heart jewelry, heart-themed clothing. And part of that is I have made self-love, like, a huge priority in my life for, like, a decade and a half now. And I think of hearts as a symbol that reminds me of that. And I do think about that whenever I look at them. And so the fact that it's more, like, socially acceptable to dress that way around Valentine's Day just, you know, means that I can sort of dial that up. But really, I could do it anytime and who cares?
Yeah.
But so I want to read verbatim this question that we received from a listener in the Discord, because this really made me laugh. And I just felt like we have a lot of thoughts on this.
I hope it's the one I think it is.
It probably is. This person said, "This might just be my aromantic ass talking, but what's the point of Valentine's Day? Why does it exist? Is there anything to it other than hyper-commercialization and a reminder to acknowledge your partner? Is it just Mother's Day / Father's Day on steroids?"
It is exactly the question. It is the question I thought it was, and which you would know if we had video and you saw my little autistic happy wiggles when when I heard what question it was. But I have so many thoughts. Do you want to go first or shall I? Oh, God.
Yeah, I guess I'll give my opening statement on this. I do think Mother's Day and Father's Day are a good comparison. And someone else pointed out in a question that, like, it is interesting that even though their goals are in some ways similar, those three holidays, there seems to be a lot more divisiveness about Valentine's Day, a lot more vitriol and discussion about, like, whether it should exist at all. But I really just do view it as an opportunity to show appreciation. And the fact that there's a day for it just gives, like, a little push for people who maybe, like, forget to show this type of appreciation or just sort of take it for granted. Like, I definitely have gone through periods of life in relationships where it was like, that person knows that I love and appreciate them. I don't need to say that. And as I've grown up, I've just learned more and more, like, yeah, they know, and it's nice to say it.
Yeah.
And I think that for a lot of relationship and communication nerds like us, it, you know, might come up more often because you're just, like, talking about this stuff more often. But for people who are not really used to that, I do think it can be nice to have a little push to express that appreciation. Although, you know, my view on it is kind of like, maybe work toward not needing that push and just doing that in your life normally.
Yeah. My feelings are fairly similar. Now, with the big caveat of what I am about to say, that I'm going to take religious holidays and, like, tuck them aside, because I have never been deeply religious and I'm not going to speak to what religious holidays provide people, you know?
Right.
But the social commercial, et cetera, function of holidays, right? The way we typically celebrate in our culture out, separate from religion. Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty much every holiday is an opportunity to celebrate a something that you think is fun, right? Comes up once a year, comes up several times a year, right? We get anniversaries and we get Valentine's Day to celebrate love and loving things. What do you want to talk? How do you want to celebrate love? What do you want that to look like? I don't know. That's up to you. But it comes up twice a year for you, probably. You know, and Mother's and Father's Day, similar. Birthday, similar. Like, fucking Thanksgiving, right? Because you're probably not celebrating the bullshit that we're starting with, right? You're probably celebrating seeing your fucking family and being grateful for shit. Right. Because a holiday is, like, I think just conceptually, it's just an annual reminder to celebrate a thing. And if that thing is fun for you and you would like to celebrate it once a year, you get an opportunity to do that.
Yep.
And, like, I do think it's weird and interesting that Valentine's Day gets more pushback than a lot of other things and, like, does speak to the way we do value particularly romantic and sexual love in a, like, public-wide way. Because anniversary is fine. You're allowed to be, like, celebrating that amongst yourselves. That's cute and romantic or whatever. But, like, we get kind of snide around Valentine's Day, which is interesting. But,
yeah, well, to sort of jump forward to address that question of, like, why it is so much more divisive, my theory on this is, you know, working in this industry, I have noticed that people have so much internalized shame and self-judgment about the field of love and sex. Mm-hmm. We see this in the world of, like, incels, like, you know, their internalized shame and anger about being involuntarily celibate has led to these, like, horrible vitriolic acts of violence and acts of hate speech and what have you. And I think that, not to say that everyone who hates Valentine's Day is an incel, that's not what I'm saying. But I do think that there's a certain degree and quality of shame around these issues that just feels different from the shame you might have if, for example, it's Mother's Day and you don't have a good relationship with your mom. And, like, you know, obviously there are tons of people who are in that position and hate Mother's Day and resent it and may feel, you know, similarly strong about it. But I think that there's something about romantic love that feels very personal for people. Like, it feels very much like a judgment on, like, who you are as a person. Are you desirable? Are you lovable? Which really cuts to the core of how we see ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of humans, when they encounter a feeling like that deep shame, and they're not used to that, or they haven't sort of processed that, or they're not ready to look at that, that will come out in the form of anger, judgment of other people, shouting about how it's a Hallmark holiday, et cetera. And that's not to say that those criticisms aren't valid. Like, I do think that the commercialization of Valentine's Day, like, obviously is not always a good thing. Like, it sucks when people can't afford a certain type of nice present and they're made to feel like they don't love their partner as much for that reason or whatever. But I do think that a lot of this anger, especially toward, like, couples celebrating Valentine's Day, this, like, very loud resentment about it is a sign that's, like, something's going on with you. And this is part of why, like, for me, it's always been important if I'm single on Valentine's Day, or if I'm away from my partner, or if my partner's spending their Valentine's Day with someone else, it's very important to me that I do some sort of solo date. And it's actually one of the, like, sort of trickiest days of the year to do that, emotionally speaking, because you're out and there's all these couples. But in that way, it's almost like exposure therapy. It's like, if you can do that on that day, like, you're really well on your way on your self-love journey. And it's been some of the, like, most joyful self-dates that I've had, because once I was able to sort of get over myself and get over the fact that, like, I'm alone and I'm dressed in pink and red with hearts all over me and I'm just, like, having a great time by myself. Like, it's, I don't know, that's just, like, fun to me. And it's just a very tangible expression of, like, self-love and, like, I am as important as any potential partners I could have. And that's really important for me to express to myself.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And, like, I definitely think there's a component of, like, some of the vitriol for Valentine's Day that comes from that loneliness and that feeling of inadequacy that can come from that.
Yep.
I also think, like, you don't have to be single to hate Valentine's Day. and, like, I do think there is also a degree of pressure of, like, today I have to tangibly show whatever feeling I have to my partner, which is, like, not necessarily something we socialize men to do or anyone to do, frankly, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So it's, like, real easy to feel inadequate even if you are in a relationship and, like, there are these expectations that you feel like you need to meet or whatever, that I think can also be really challenging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a lot of the bad feelings that come out of Valentine's Day are related directly to comparison. Mm-hmm. And one thing I've talked about in therapy a lot is, like, when I have been going through periods of being single and being really upset about it and kind of falling into a despair hole about it, often one of the big things at the root of that was I was like, how are other people perceiving me? Are they looking at me and going, oh, she's a single loser, or she's not spending Valentine's Day with her partner, she must be undesirable or something, or her relationship must be on the rocks or whatever. And it's like most people are just really not thinking about you that much.
Yeah.
And I think that the fact that there's so many media depictions of romantic love, just they're everywhere, makes it extra hard to set aside those comparisons because it's just constantly held up as one of the key barometers of a successful life, a life well lived. And so if you don't have that, or even if you don't want that, it's very easy to feel like there might be something wrong with you, or that other people might be thinking there's something wrong with you.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. This might be a bit of a tangent, but I do think there is also, like, another component to this, like, particular vitriol that Valentine's Day gets, because particularly I think the celebration of, like, romantic love and pink and hearts and et cetera are all things we code as feminine or code as related to women.
Yeah, and, like, thank you for calling this there's out.
Definitely, like, misogyny is definitely playing a part here in the, like, we are allowed to trivialize this one and say this is stupid. But if I went out there and was like, fucking Father's Day, what the fuck do fathers do? Like, do you understand the flack I would get if I'm like, we're going to celebrate dads? Okay. Yeah. But, like, it's so easy to be like, romance, who cares? And, like, if romance was important to men the way sex was allowed to be important to men, I don't think we would be dismissing this holiday in the same way.
That's a really, really good point. And I do think that the sort of gendered politics of Valentine's Day are fascinating, because the way that we talk about romance and sex, as you were pointing out there, in our culture, at least in a cishet dating context, is like, romance is something men have to give women in order to earn sex, which is just so toxic for so many reasons, one of which is there are plenty of guys who like being romantic and romantically expressive, showing their affection, and who may feel, you know, weak or mocked or whatever it may be because they like to do that. And that's not girly stuff. That's basic fundamental relationship stuff. And if you're not doing that, then, like, no wonder relationships are hard for you.
Right. But if we're looking at Valentine's Day through, like, this narrative that we're having around heteronormative relationships or whatever, what we see is a holiday that is all about obligations that the man has to show up, like, appropriately romantically for the women in his life, or have a woman in his life to do that for, right? Like, there isn't much in that narrative. Like, there isn't a ton of space for a guy to be excited about getting a box of chocolates on Valentine's Day. Like, at least not in heteronormative culture, in the, like, discussions we're having around this, right?
Right.
And that's why we have shit like fucking steak and a blowjob day or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I could go on a 40-minute rant about steak and a blowjob day. But I think that this
narrative... Okay, but I do like steaks and blowjobs. It's dumb that the holiday has to be so stupid. I would love a day to celebrate steaks and blowjobs. But the whole premise here, fucking dumb. Anyway.
I actually, there was like a series of a few years where every year on Steak and Blowjob Day, I would buy myself a steak and do my best to give a blowjob. It's just, mm-hmm. I don't know. I like celebrating things that are fun. That's like right. my whole thesis statement here. But right. anyway, to go back to the sort of gendered scripts, I do think it's interesting to point out that incest dating culture, it is so often framed as like a holiday where men perform something for women. And I think mm-hmm. that it would be so much better if more women would do stuff for men on Valentine's Day. I do think it's shifting a little bit. Like, I do see amongst MF couples I know, there does seem to be more egalitarianism in this mm-hmm. regard. But, like, I can get feeling frustrated about a holiday where, like, it's just your job to buy a bunch of shit and get nothing. Like, that right. sucks.
Right. Like, I... Yeah, I don't know. I am all about the choosing of a day to, like, or repurposing of a day to celebrate your relationship in the way that feels good about your relationship. Like, your anniversary, mm-hmm. great. Yeah, let's throw another one in there. Have it be Valentine's Day. The script of Valentine's Day, kind of trash. But, like, the concept of it, great. But, like, doesn't even have to be Valentine's Day. Like, when I asked my partner out, I was going to say it was a Friday the 13th. It actually wasn't. It was a week after a Friday the 13th. But that happened to be the anniversary of, like, a rough thing in their past. And they were like, I don't want that to also be our anniversary. And I was like, great, well, I have ADHD and was going to ask you out last week, but we were fucking all day. And it just seemed weird to bring it up in the middle. I don't know. Yeah. Never got around to it. So we'll say our anniversary is last weekend. So our anniversary is September 13th, which happened to be a Friday the 13th. We celebrate every Friday the 13th together. And that's our anniversary. Yeah.
That's cute.
It's a little randomized anniversary that just pops up some months. And every once in a while we look and we're like, oh, there's a Friday the 13th in a couple weeks. What do you want to do? Mm-hmm. Like, super cute. And I say all of that to say, you can pick literally any day to do this. The day you celebrate, like, there is no reason that Friday the 13th is special to us, actually. Mm-hmm. Just kind of through a weird long story. But right. 3 years later, we've celebrated every Friday the 13th. It's our fucking day now, you know?
Yeah, it's cute.
Yeah. So
you mentioned obligation and expectation, mm-hmm. and I do think that that is a huge part of why so many people feel bitter about Valentine's Day. But I think that a huge part of the issue there is if you don't know what the expectations are or what the hopes are, then yeah, it's going to feel oppressive because not only do you have to fulfill it, but you have to first figure out what it is or like somehow magically mm-hmm. intuit it. And this yeah. is especially prevalent in straight dating culture. And I think that queers are much more likely to just be like, so hey, like, what's your relationship to Valentine's Day? Like, what yeah. kind of night would you like to have? Do you like to give or receive gifts? Like, what's the deal? I think that this is something that is nice to discuss, you know, whenever it first comes up in your mm-hmm. relationship, ideally mm-hmm. with a little bit of notice, because, like, you don't want to ask that question when they've already bought you like three gifts secretly or something,
right?
But it's good to just set expectations because, yeah, it's stressful AF to not know what you're even supposed to do and to not mm-hmm. know if what you have decided to do is even going to go over well.
Yeah. But it can be fun, which I feel like was just our whole fucking thesis statement here. I don't know. Fucking yeah. celebrate things if you want to. Don't if you don't. I don't know.
Yeah, like, for example, one of the things that surprises people sometimes when I tell them about me celebrating Valentine's Day or like birthdays and stuff like that with my partner is that mm-hmm. my partner usually likes to pick a restaurant, like do the reservation and like keep it a surprise for me. Mm-hmm. And that's something we talked about, I think, fairly early on about like they like to do that and I like to have that done to me. And so we're mm-hmm. a good top and bottom combo for that particular thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, we had meta communications about that. And how bad would it suck if you found out your partner had been expecting you to secretly make a reservation and then it's February 12th and nobody's made a reservation? Like, that's not right. great.
Right.
Another question that came up is how to deal with it if you and your partner have different views on Valentine's Day. So this listener was saying that they think it's sort of bullshit and like they don't really care about it. But like, what if they were to date someone who it was really important to them? How would you recommend navigating that?
made a series of faces that none of y'all could see. But I think I just learned something about myself.
Huh. Do tell.
Because if you hate Valentine's Day because you have a bad relationship to something that happened on or around Valentine's Day, if you have some, like, story or trauma or something that you're like, no, Valentine's Day is a rough day for me, separate from that. Mm-hmm. Fine. I understand that you don't have to celebrate Valentine's Day. But if you're just like, it's dumb and it doesn't mean anything and is just made up by Hallmark, and your friend is like, and your partner is like, it brings me a lot of joy. It makes me really happy to celebrate love on that particular day. I prioritize the interests of the person who's pursuing joy over the jaded fuck. Speaking as the person who's generally the jaded fuck, like, if you can summit it in you to still be like, this doesn't mean anything, but it means it makes my partner happy and there's some joy in there. Yeah. Like, you can put aside your, well, it's corporate bullshit. Everything's corporate bullshit. We live in capitalism. Like, none of all of it's fake. Money's fake. I don't, you know, like.
Yeah, if you don't want to support Hallmark, you don't have to support Hallmark. You can buy something else. You can grow your own flowers. You can do whatever. Yeah, I agree with you. And, like, the way that I think about this is part of being in a relationship, I think, is being able to appreciate at least some of the things that your partner's into, even if you're not into them, just because, like, that's nice. Like, when I'm playing video games, my partner's not a gamer at all, but sometimes they'll, like, be looking over my shoulder and be like, wow, that looks cool, or like, good job with that fight or whatever. And like, that honestly makes me really happy, even though, like, I know that they don't really care that much. Yeah. And similarly, you know, when your partner is really into something, even if you wouldn't otherwise give a shit, like, I think it just communicates appreciation for them and appreciation of what makes them happy if you're able to get into it a little bit. And you can definitely have an open dialogue about it. Like, I feel weird about it for these reasons. Is there anything we could do to sort of compromise on that? Whether it be we have a home cooked meal instead of going out to the restaurant, like, where it's going to be nuts, or we give homemade gifts because I don't want to support the Hallmark industrial complex, whatever. Like, there's probably some shit you could do that would make you feel a little bit better about it. And you could also talk to them about, like, why do you like it so much? Because it might be different reasons than you're actually thinking, you know?
Right. Like, just like anything else we recommend, talk about what they love about it, what you don't love about it, and find the stuff that sits in the Venn diagram between those things that works for both of you, right? Maybe you don't celebrate in a super romantic way. Or, like, like you said, maybe you're like, no, I was a waiter and it's just a hellish day. I don't want to make their day harder. Like, fine, eat at home.
Or,
you know,
maybe, like, it's like, we're going to tip 35%. Like,
yeah, exactly. We're going to be the best Valentine's Day customers fucking ever, and we're going to take that table from someone who will be a dick and ignore them. Like, great. Right. Love that. You know, like, whatever version of you helps you feel good about this, great. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like you said, I think it communicates a degree of willingness and care for your partner to, like, get excited. Because, like, there's also a degree, like, to find a way to be excited about a thing that you can do together. And also, like, you made the video game example. There's also some, like, value in, like, no, I'm just going to be bored, but I'm doing this because I'm excited about you. Yeah. I recommend those in smaller doses than an entire date night. But, like, you know, sometimes that's also a thing. I truly don't care, but you're real cute talking about it. Keep going. Yeah, go ahead. You know, like,
It's
great. But the other side of that, I also think you're communicating something if you're, like, choosing to hang on to your, this is bullshit capitalism, this right here, this particular thing that you like, and, like, be all bitchy about it, while your partner is being excited in front of you. Speaking once again as someone who has to hold on to his bitchy feelings about things sometimes, and, like, being like, it's bad, I don't care, it's bad. Like, I have that autistic oppositional defiance thing, or whatever the right language for that is. Sometimes I don't like things when I'm told to do them. And being a grown-up and being in a relationship with people and loving people means sometimes putting that aside a little bit and, like, you know, in the times that you can, and choosing to, like, show up in the ways that you can to be friends with them, or be in relationship with them. I don't know why I keep saying friends.
Well, friends are also worth celebrating on Valentine's Day.
Truly.
you know, if your friends are
We should have a separate holiday for non-romantic love, frankly.
Because it's true.
That is something that we do need to take a minute to, like, celebrate separately from romantic love and as equally important to romantic love. Because that's one we don't, even, like, subconsciously in culture, media, etc.
It's very true. And friendships don't have, like, anniversaries usually. We do have a weird friendship anniversary of the day that we had a threesome together and sort of became best friends instantly. But I think
isn't that how everyone becomes best friends?
Yeah, probably. But yeah, you're right. Like, it so often gets tacked on as like Galentine's Day or Palentine's Day. And it's like,
as a substitute for, or like as a substitute for like, well, if you can't celebrate Valentine's Day, celebrate with your friends. And it's like,
yeah. That is nice to do.
Certainly.
And I think that that can be a great way of feeling less alone. But
my friends aren't a substitute for my romantic relationships. I can also celebrate my friends on like a day where they – I'm talking about making up holidays and now I'm talking about a need for that. I guess I'm going to pick a day for one of those at some point.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I don't know. Like – I think that would be pretty valuable. I'm sure there is a Friends Day, but like to actually regularly recognize a thing in the way we do Valentine's Day as a like, no, show up and fucking tell your friends why you like them. Mm-hmm. I want you in my bedroom. I need you here tonight. I want you in my bedroom.
This episode of The Dildorks is sponsored by Jerkmate.com. One of the things we talk about in this episode is how it can be fun to celebrate Valentine's Day, even if you're single. And not in a sad consolation prize kind of way, but in a way that's all about prioritizing what makes you happy and what gives you pleasure. Connecting with cam models on Jerkmate.com could be a fun way to do that. You can learn a lot about your sexuality from engaging in fun exhibitionistic or voyeuristic scenes with cuties online. And since they're professionals, you don't have to worry about being judged. You can just focus on what feels good. There's a huge variety of models on jerkmate.com. You can find all kinds of people across the spectrums of gender, sexuality, and kinks. You can choose between just watching, being watched, or doing both at once in a cam-to-cam session. Some performers even have interactive vibrators you can control from your phone, which would be a cool way to feel sexually connected to a hot stranger, even if they're miles away. Ready to have some fun with cam models? Go to jerkmate.com to create your free account using our promo code DILDORKS10, that's DILDORKS10, and you'll get 10 free gold tokens for your first private chat sessions. You must be 18 or older to join. Thanks for the support. We sort of touched on this, but one listener was asking, why does going all out on one day make up for the other 364? And I would argue that it does not, but I do know that there are a lot of relationships where like that is sort of the expectation. Mm-hmm. And to me, like, if it's a choice between like don't celebrate Valentine's Day and like just be loving all year round and like just cram it all into one night, like I'm obviously going to pick to have it the year round. Like, I think that, it makes sense to be even more affectionate and kind and loving toward your partner on a day that's about celebrating that, if that's how you want to do that. But that doesn't give you a free pass to not be that way at other times.
Right. I don't think people who are operating under that assumption are choosing that or realizing they're choosing that. Mm-hmm. I think people who believe Valentine's Day is about going all out because you have to prove a thing, because you owe it after a year of not proving a thing or whatever, like that latter bit's generally implicit. I think those are also like, we're talking a lot about heteronormative culture because it's a lot of what the commercial Valentine's Day looks like.
Yep.
A lot of those people have not been sold a picture of what just casual affection and love and romance in a relationship might look like.
Mm-hmm.
right? Like, I think about, like, the sitcoms I grew up on, fucking Everybody Loves Raymond and King of Queens and
hate
whatever.
Those shows. I hate those.
But they're just on all the time in my parents' house.
I know.
House.
I've watched so much Raymond, and it has fucked me up.
I've just absorbed, I'm sure, most of that show through not watching a single episode in full. But, like, none of that gives me a story of, like, loving my partner. Apparently you sometime in the past decided that, and now you just seem trapped with each other. I don't quite understand. Like, a little bit at odds.
Yeah, like, that type of show was very confusing to me as a child because, you know, you're seeing all these sort of Disney movie depictions of, like, love and marriage as the end point of a journey and the culmination of all these hopes and wishes. And then you're seeing what we're supposed to believe is the reality of marriage, which seems to be predicated on mostly household chores, childcare, mutual resentment, and sexual rejection. And I was like, is that what it's going to be like? Because that doesn't really make sense. That doesn't really, like, 1 + 1 = 2 there. Like, that doesn't really check out for me. And I think a huge part of it is, like, those people are not making a concerted effort to communicate their love to each other regularly in ways that work for the other person. Like, there's so many scenes in Raymond where Ray makes a move on his wife sexually when she's, like, falling asleep after a full day of, like, housework and childcare. And it's like, yeah, maybe that's his way of feeling more connected to her and showing affection. But, like, is she receiving it that way? No, because she's busy and tired and she doesn't feel acknowledged in that. And she feels like he's not intuiting that she's busy and tired, and it sucks.
Right. But, like, and you're right in that we only really get these two stories of romance, right? We get the fairy tale or rom-com, frankly, the, like, falling in love, meet cute, etc., into potentially getting married, right? We get different sections of that story around dating. And then we get decade into marriage. We rarely even, like, maybe we get newlywed, but we don't get, like, learning to be married, and, like, we don't get 20 years into a, like, happy, connective marriage. Like, we see, you know, we see less and less of those stories. And, like, I don't know. When I think of the people making shows like Raymond and everything, roughly their age, right? We think of their parents were boomers or older. How many of them were just, like, cuddling in the kitchen? Like, how often did they see their parent, like, walk up behind someone washing dishes and give them a hug and, like, a kiss on the neck and, like, like, even say something flirty about how they might fuck later? Like, even if they were fucking later, we, like, there's all this weirdness around, like, just that kind of casual affection. That, like, of course we think marriages are cold. You know?
Yeah, and it feels really disconnective to go for long periods of time without that and then to be faced with a day when you suddenly have to do a lot of that. Like, that, I can imagine that feeling really awkward and uncomfortable. And, like, if you're doing it more often, you just get more used to it and it doesn't feel as weird.
And you, it probably someone who is, like, more comfortable being like, how do you want to celebrate Valentine's Day? What sounds exciting? What sounds cute and romantic? Like, you're probably more used to having conversations about what romance does look like.
Well, we've been talking about super long-term relationships, but I want to pivot to a question that's about very new relationships. A friend of the show was wondering if we have advice on how to approach very early dating on Valentine's Day, which can be super awkward. Like, say you started dating mid-January and now it's Valentine's Day. Like, what do you do? What do you think is the move here?
I would, like, decide how you feel about it first, right? Do you want to get them something? Like, I presumably you're bringing this up because you're like, oh, this, like, this sounds kind of cute, whatever. Or you're afraid they're going to get you something, right? I think that's the fear. You're like, they're going to get me something and I don't think we're there yet and oh no, I should have. Or I'm going to get them something and come across as presumptuous, I think, are, like, what we're balancing here. And obviously the answer to that is to address it slightly early on and talk about it, right? If you started dating super recently, you can only address it so early on, right? Yeah. But I would say ping them, you know, a week or so before Valentine's Day with something like, hey, like, you know, Valentine's Day is coming up and I don't like super new in this or whatever. I don't want to do anything like huge, but like, I'm feeling really cute and romantic about you. I'm almost thinking about you a lot and would like to do a cute thing for you. And if it feels good to you to be like, you know, you don't have to do anything for me under $25 or whatever, like something to be like, this is what I'm talking about. Like, this is how much I'm spending, or this is the amount of energy I'm putting into it, or this is what I'm expecting back from you. Mm-hmm. Something like that to give them like a ballpark. But I would very much put it on the like, I'm not doing this because I'm like, oh, this is my next greatest, biggest relationship and we celebrate Valentine's. No, this is cute. I have an opportunity to celebrate with people that I feel warm and fuzzy about, and I've been feeling warm and fuzzy about you lately. Mm-hmm. Or, hey, just checking in. I know it's like super early on. I know this is still early. I wasn't planning on doing a Valentine's Day thing, but like, if you're excited about that, we can. I just wanted to touch base because I know things are still a little fuzzy or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Like something along those lines.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that probably one of the worst things you could do is not talk about it at all. Like, that just seems really awkward, because if you don't talk about it at all, which I could see myself doing if I was extremely concerned about wanting to seem chill, mm-hmm. then you never know if you're making the other person go like, do they even like me? Like, mm-hmm. that's sort of weird and distant. Like, even if they don't mm-hmm. particularly care about Valentine's Day, it is kind of a statement to mm-hmm. not acknowledge it, I think.
You could also open with something like, I don't know if you have plans. I don't know if you have, like, I don't know what your relationship to Valentine's Day is. I don't know what, right? Like, very much saying, like, I'm not presuming that I am your Valentine's Day date. We're, like, this is still, I'm not presuming that you have planned some big exciting thing for me. Mm-hmm. However, I've been thinking about you. I don't have much going on that day. I'd like to spend some time with you, mm-hmm. if that's a thing that sounds fun, or something like that.
Yeah, I think I would want to explicitly decide to hang out on a day that is not Valentine's Day. Just kind of take the pressure off. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would probably be like, is it okay if I get you a little something? Mm-hmm. And I would phrase it like that. Like, I would make it very clear. I'm not going to get them something fancy, as you said, because that can be a lot of pressure. And like, at that point in dating, it's often really hard to tell if like they're into it and full steam ahead, or they have reservations and maybe even are thinking about ending things. Like, mm-hmm. especially when you don't know someone well, it can be really hard to read that kind of stuff. So mm-hmm. yeah, I would go gentle on this, but like, I would definitely say something.
And when we like, can we talk about little something? Because I think the amount of like how much money is worth to an individual person changes, mm-hmm. right? How much $50 is worth to me given on a given week has changed over the course of my life, right? Mm-hmm. But I would say if we're talking like weeks less than 3 months, unless you are in a significantly different tax bracket from me, and both of you are, or like the sugaring dynamic or whatever is part of what's hot, right? But like, if you are both in a significantly different tax bracket than me, ignore me. I don't know what money's like for you. But I think most of our listeners are roughly around here, and I would say like $25 to $50 max for like if we're in the first 3 months of a relationship around Valentine's Day. Like, that's either a night out, maybe, you know, a cute little gift, whatever. Maybe you make a thing, something like that. But I mm-hmm. think anything above that is communicating a very different expectation that I would read as presumptuous that early on.
Yeah, it really kind of depends on what message you want to send. Mm-hmm. Because if you're feeling very strongly and you're like, I know that I want to commit to this person and I know that I want to be with this person in the long term, and you have a pretty good read on it and you think that they probably are feeling similar, like, mm-hmm. I could see this being an inflection point if you choose mm-hmm. to buy them something a little nicer or celebrate it in a little nicer than expected way. But mm-hmm. yeah, I think in general, like, you know, it's not often on this show that you will hear me recommending taking the more chill option. Like, it's just not really how I live my life. But I do think because of all the scripts and pressures involved in this, that you do have to tread a little carefully.
Yeah. And I don't know. I just overstepping the mark on Valentine's Day, I feel like would land different even for me than it would if I overstepped the mark on February 17th. And was just like, hey, I'm really into you. I'd like to maybe make this a thing. And I don't even give a shit about Valentine's Day. But if I was like, if I slid into someone's DMs and like shot my shot tomorrow, it'd sting, I think, a little bit more than it would if I did it on Friday.
Yeah, I was just listening to the Loud About Nothing podcast, which is a really funny podcast, and they had a listener call in with a story about, like, she tried to send flowers to someone she was newly dating for Valentine's Day, and without checking with her, the flower shop sent a bunch of stuff that was, like, the wrapping paper was, like, branded with I love you everywhere.
Oh, my God.
And he, like, didn't text her back for a really long time, and then he was like, this made me a little uncomfortable, and he, like, sent a photo, and then she was like, oh, no.
Oh, no. That's so much.
Worst case scenario. I hope that never happens to any of you.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a choice on Valentine's Day. You would think flower shops would think of that. Oh, God. Oh.
Yeah. I do have another question, but I'm not that excited about it. And I kind of would rather just tell my story of my worst Valentine's Day ever.
Yeah.
It's become a fable that I tell.
It's a good one. I mean, it's not, but, you know. It is bonkers.
I'm certain I must have told this before, but it's still so funny to me. And, like, spoiler alert, this person did later apologize to me for this, and I've basically forgiven him, but it's still funny.
It's a wild series of decisions,
So let's picture this. February, I believe, 2016, I had been intermittently flirting, texting, hooking up with this cute boy who lived in a different city but was close enough that he could come visit fairly often. And we had a hangout on February 13th. He was in town for the weekend to go to this Valentine's Day party with me that some friends of ours were throwing. And we hung out on the 13th. And then at the end of that night, he was like, do you want to go for dinner tomorrow? And I was like, oh, like I didn't say anything about Valentine's Day, but like I did fully in my head was like, oh, he wants to take me out for dinner on Valentine's Day. That's like pretty romantic. Like even a dinner date in and of itself for people in their early to mid 20s, I feel like is kind of romantic.
And even like ending a date and saying, what are you doing tomorrow? Like when you knew you were going to be in town, you're in town for a limited amount of time, like allocating that bit of extra time and being like, this was great, more of this immediately.
Yeah.
Like that signals a great many things.
It does. And I was texting you in a joyful panic after he left, like, oh my God, is he going to ask me to be his girlfriend? He asked for dinner on Valentine's Day? What's going on? And so the next day comes, I get really dolled up, probably got ready for like an hour, a lot of makeup, really cute dress, the whole thing. I show up for dinner at this diner and we sit down and like almost immediately after we place our orders, he's like, so I know that you have a really big crush on me. I can't even get through it. It's so funny.
Oh, my God.
He literally said this to me. He said, I know you have a really big crush on me, but I just don't think that I can do the polyamory thing or the long distance thing. So I don't think that we should keep seeing each other.
And like that sentence could have come out of his face instead of, would you like to have dinner on Valentine's Day?
Yes, exactly. It's so like, absurd.
The end of a lovely date together is an excellent time to be like, that was fantastic. And also, I don't think I can do the kind of relationship you want, but like, I would love to keep hanging out with you in these ways. And then letting you go home and deal with those feelings all on your lonesome. Yes. Because they just said they're signing up to not deal with your fucking feelings.
Yes, exactly. And because we had never really talked about like relationship-y plans, for like wanting to be together or whatever, I couldn't really show how bummed I was. Like I didn't feel like I could anyway. Like I just felt, especially because we were at the beginning of our dinner and we're going to a party immediately afterward. I was like, I can't show these feelings. So I was just like, oh yeah, that's totally cool. I get it. That's fine. Whatever. And we got through the dinner And then we went to this party at this bar that our friend was throwing. And I pretty much immediately saw my friend, who's my now my roommate, Sarah, who's a very sweet person. And I took her. I was like, can you come with me to the bathroom, please? And we went into the bathroom and I just wept for like a while. Like I just cried on her and told her what had happened. And she was really supportive. Then I had to, you know, get back out there and party. Valentine's Day. Yay. Fun.
Right. Like who has that conversation at the beginning of a date and opens with, so I know you're like super into me.
That was the craziest part to me is the way he said it was as though he had never expressed interest in me. And I was like, my dude, you have been face planted in my vulva so many times. You've been sending me the flirty text with the flirty emojis. Like, what are you talking about?
Right. Like, and to make it so one-sided, to not be like, listen, like, I know we've been having a lot of fun. Like, this has been really great. Or even like, I'm quite very into you. Because if you're using the like relationship style thing, like, anyway, bonkers. Bonkers series of choices, and to not look at like the optics of that and be like, what situation am I setting this person I ostensibly still at least like up for? What kind of evening are they going to have tomorrow night?
Yeah. And like, I was okay. Like, I had also kind of
I wept. Like, I just wept in the bathroom for a while on my friend. Anyway, I was okay.
I was, though. Like, it definitely stung, but it was not heartbreaking. Like I had not gotten that invested. It became a funny story that I would tell people, and I think it eventually got back to him that I had been telling this story, and it probably sounded as if I was like heartbroken about it and was telling everybody, which was like not really, like, you know, I was bummed, but I really was like okay. But so he eventually reached out and apologized and basically explained to me he like hadn't even really thought about the fact that it was Valentine's Day, and it was just like we were going to the party, so he was like, we should get dinner together like before the party and go together, which I guess I sort of get, but like
I totally get that. It just the inability to zoom out and actually see what impact the like decisions you're making in the moment are having, like to not be like, even if to not be like, listen, I don't think I could do the polyamory thing, but like, let's have dinner tomorrow night before this thing. And like, and then you have like 12 hours fucking alone to have your feelings and then go back.
You do I really didn't need to have my Valentine's Day ruined. Like I would have been so much happier if it was like a decisively single Valentine's Day. Like, you know, then at least I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, exactly. But you do have at least the benefit of like, when folks make decisions like this, you do at least have that little bit of like, no, fuck you. That like there is no reality in which inviting someone out to dinner and telling them at the beginning of your dinner and like flirty party date night that you don't want to date them on Valentine's. No, you're just wrong. That's not a me thing. That's a you thing. And there is some like comfort that comes in that certainty, at least for me.
Also, like, if you're going to reject someone and you like them, you should say that you like them. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe some people would say that that's, like, mixed feelings, but I just thought it was bullshit to not even acknowledge that, like, he had played a role in that.
Right. You can acknowledge that you like someone and don't want to date them. I have plenty of people that I'm very incredibly into that I'm like, I don't know if I want to date that human. I don't know. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, or that I'm like, I want to be in a relationship with them in these ways or those other ways. Right? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like part of being an adult is being able to recognize I feel these ways and I am able to look at the situation I'm in and make these decisions based on my feelings and every other fucking factor in the room.
Yeah. Do you like how I said I wasn't that hurt by it and I'm now telling the story 7 years later on a podcast?
Uh-huh. Love it.
It's very healthy and well-adjusted of me. I think it's mainly useful as an example of like why communication about these sorts of things is helpful and why, like, even if you don't personally care about it, it's nice to be a little thoughtful about it because it stands for something. It represents something for a lot of people. And even if you don't personally take on that meaning, it's nice to give some consideration to it. It's just, you know, part of living in a society.
I've gone on a first date on Valentine's Day, and we didn't go on a second date or anything, but it wasn't weird because we were planning the date, and I was like, the only day I'm free next week is Tuesday. We can wait another week, or we can go out on Valentine's Day and pretend it's not Valentine's Day and pretend it's not weird that that's a first date. And they were like,
that's perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't feel like waiting. And I was like, great. And we had like a fine first date that didn't wind up going anywhere, but didn't ruin either of our Valentine's days either.
Great. A plus.
Presumably.
Good job, team.
He seemed fine with it. I don't know. Played some board games. It was a nice time.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dildorks. However you are celebrating or not celebrating today, I hope that you're having a really good day and that you feel loved and that you get to do things that you love with people who you love, or by yourself. That counts too. You could be a person you love. That's good shit. I've been Kate Sloan. You can find me at katesloan.com. I have a blog at girlyjuice.net. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at girly_juice. You can also subscribe to my paid weekly newsletter at katesloan.email. The most recent installment of that was about things I've learned about being collared, because I recently celebrated my 5-year collarversary. Where's your stuff?
I'm Billy Lohr. You can find information about my workshops, and I just scheduled a couple over the course of February, so you can find those over at billylohr.com, as well as all my porn. I'm filming, actually not long after this probably, a cute little anal video for Valentine's Day, I think. I'm going to do the, like, nervous, embarrassed guy being like, I don't want you, you're really into this and it's a special day, so I figured I'd try it for you. And then he eventually becomes a like filthy little butt slut, because of course he does.
We didn't even talk about like Valentine's Day sexual favors, like a V-Day blowjob.
I love it. Like, it is a fun little role play thing in there. I wouldn't normally do this, but it's a holiday and it's romantic and I gotta. Anyway, we're perverts. Yep. So if you want to watch that, you can go over to billylohr.com, find links to my OnlyFans, etc. I will be sharing it there, presumably. Been doing a lot more butt stuff over there. It's been fun. Look at me doing my New Year's resolutions.
Exciting.
Together we are over at Patreon. Where the fuck are we? We're in so many places. Together we're Together we are the Dildorks. We're at thedildorks.com and at thedildorks on Twitter and Instagram. We're also at patreon.com/thedildorks, where you can toss a couple bucks our way to help us keep doing what we're doing. At $6 a month, you get access to our exclusive Discord community, where you can come hang out with us and talk to us about Valentine's Day and a number of other things, give us questions, etc. And for $12 a month, you get our Patreon-only bonus episodes.
I want to say thank you to our top-tier Patreon supporters. We thank them every week because we really appreciate the support. Amelia, Amy, MB, Nat, Argo, and Sabitha Christie, thank you so much. I also want to say thank you to Protodome, who did our theme song. Thank you to Amy, who did our logo. Thank you to our sponsor for this episode, jerkmate.com. Don't forget to use our coupon code DILDORKS10 for 10 free gold tokens on their site. And thank you to you for listening. Until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life.
Bye. Bye. I want you in the morning.
My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex... Let me try that again. I was so distracted thinking about what I'm going to say for the third thing. I forgot what the first two things are.
I'm Billy. I am a sex educator and porn maker. I have to take it again, too, because I had the exact same problem. Wow. Okay. Who the fuck am I?
And thank you to you for listening. The voice is going. All right. Well, thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dildorks. I hope that however you're spending today or whatever you're not celebrating today, that I'm going to say this again. That doesn't make any sense. Sorry that the last like 12 minutes of the episode was just me being pissed off.
No, it's fine. I got to rant. And as you may have noticed, I'm in a bitchy mood.
Yay. Okay, perfect.